Well, the title of today's message is Devoted. And we continue in a series that we have called Message to My Church. And we're focusing in, and as I said earlier, not sure how long this series is going to last, but there's a lot of information in the letters that Jesus has written to his church. And when I say the Word of God, when he inspired through John these words in Revelation, they point to the things that make the heart of Christ glad about his church. And then it also brings out the things that make his heart sad. And today we continue in Revelation chapter 2. And I want to start with a couple of questions. What has your greatest devotion? If you had to call out right now, what are you devoted to? You could list a number of things that come to mind. But my question is this, which one is the greatest of your devotion? And there are many things that we're devoted to today. And one of the things that can detect to us what we are devoted to is when that which we are devoted to is absent from us. We're separated from us. And I'm going to ask you, what alerts your heart the fastest when it is not in your presence? And I can tell you as a parent, when I don't know where my child is, especially when they were little, my heart alerts like this. And it tells me clearly when I'm separated and I don't know where they're at, my heart is devoted to them and there's concern. Same way with my spouse. If I don't know where my honey is, my heart is alert because I am devoted to her. How about this? What happens to your heart when you don't know where your smartphone is? What happens? And I'll just be very honest with you. One day I had my smartphone in my car and I set it in the seat. Next thing I know, it slipped down in this crevice in my car and I needed to get to it and I couldn't get to it. And I'm not lying to you. I started reaching my hand and it started getting like cut. And guess what I did? I kept reaching because I am what? Connected to that phone. Sad to say. Couldn't get it. Heart started pounding a little bit. And God was basically telling me, you're too connected to that phone, son. How about this? When we feel a distance from God, does it matter? Does it matter? Because if we are devoted to him, distance is going to matter. And what does distance look like? It means no time to sit with him, with my, as the devotion said today, with my Abba Father, and interact with him. Talking, letting him feed me and fill me. Devotion means that when I'm apart, there's a problem. There are millions of people today apart from the church. Does it even matter? For if we are committed to one another, us being apart from one another should what? It should matter. So if there's no alert, is there any devotion? And I believe this with all my heart. Right now, God has allowed a mirror to be put up before our faces. And he's allowed the churches across the world to be shut down. And it's telling us, does it really matter if I am present with God's people? For if I am devoted and we are called to be devoted to one another, separation is going to matter. And we will unite regardless of the consequences. Can you imagine what would have happened to the early church if they said, you know, if we get together, we may get hurt? Church wouldn't have gone anywhere, would it? So God has allowed this mirror to be placed before our face to see our, for us, he knows our devotion, but for us to see our devotion. What has your greatest devotion? Another way of seeing that in this season, and I'm not going to call it a season, it is a shift. What do I still do that I don't do anymore? And why do I still do the things that I do and the things that I don't do anymore? Could that be connected to devotion? For if separation doesn't bother me, then devotion has some type of level of consequence, meaning it states to me my devotion when something is absent and it's no big deal to me. God is allowing this season or this shift to awaken his church. And Lord Jesus, there will be countless that will fall away. Why? Because devotion wasn't truly there at the beginning, or it faded over time. What has your greatest devotion? I want to look at that word devotion for a little bit. What is devotion? It is profound dedication. It is a sold out consistency that you will not get in the way of my commitment to this. Devotion, there's no way to call worship to God without labeling it as devoted. Worship is not an on and off switch in the heart of a true believer. Worship is devotion. It is consistent. It doesn't have a pause. It has a consistent awakeness in us. Devotion, adherence. I will follow regardless. Affection. This is not just out of duty, it's out of my heart. A heart devoted is an affectionate heart to what we are devoted to. Dedication. I will follow through. I will be dedicated. Why? Because I have enthusiasm. That is what devotion is. I'm enthusiastic about this. I'm not faking it. This is my heart, to worship God, to honor his call, and to love his people. That was the third thing that Francis Chan stated about how we get through this COVID craziness that's going on. Don't lose love. Don't lose peace. And the third one that he said was don't lose fellowship with one another. Half a year almost, we're in the middle of this thing. Don't lose fellowship with one another. And one of the things that you can pray for me about as your pastor, that God shows me the way forward through this. And I guarantee you this, the way forward is us being together. Okay? What that looks like, I don't know exactly. But we must be together. So please pray. Please pray. Unprecedented times that we face. Devoted faithfulness. Fervor. Man, I'll die for you, God. I am willing to die for you, God. Fervor, fidelity, meaning purely committed, bothered when infidelity occurs. Things that I state as my choice, but living in a different standard or with a different standard. And then devotion is love. It's love. It's real love. It's love that has fruit. It is love with action. It's observance. And then at the bottom core, or the bottom base of devotion, is spirituality. It's being spiritual, not religious. Because we, if we are in Christ, we are of His Spirit. And everything that we do is connected by the Spirit. And if devotion is truly there, we will be growing spiritually. I didn't say going through motions. I'm talking about a lifeline of the Spirit of God alive in us. But what is the opposite of devotion? And does that live in us, this opposite of devotion to God? Because we know the example set for us is Jesus, right? That image of the title is the image of the cross. And the image of Jesus following through, fully devoted to the will of His Father, committed unto what? Death. He sold out for us. So what is the opposite of devotion, and is it in us when it comes to our relationship with God and our commitment to one another? The first word I want to look at is apathy. What is apathy? Apathy is like this. I know what it needs to be, but it ain't there, and guess what? It really don't matter. But if you ask me about it, I'll tell you that's the way it should be. But if it's not in me, no big deal. That's called what? Apathy. Seeing what needs to happen, but having no willingness to do what needs to happen. That's not a good place to live, is it? And in fact, you've heard this many times before, and I'm just going to say it. I may misquote it, so forgive me. Evil prevails when good men, good people, do what? Nothing. So what does that really mean? It means I know the way it should be. In fact, I know it 100%. But it isn't that way, and I'm not going to do anything about it to change it. And so evil just what? Grows and grows and grows. Another statement or another characteristic that lives in a heart that is not devoted is this word coolness. And I don't mean cool. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coolness of spirit. There's no fire inside. The Holy Spirit has a presence with identity. And that presence, one of the images of the Holy Spirit is what? Fire. Fire that burns up that which is in contrast to the will and the purposes of God. Apathy, coolness of heart, meaning it don't really matter. Just going to get through. And how about this? Another opposite of devotion is to disregard or discard. It's to just cast off what you know should be, but just disregard it. Don't even focus in on it. Another characteristic of the opposite of devotion living in our hearts, and I want you to hear this closely, is inconsistency. It's not being in a rhythm that is the rhythm of God in our lives. It's inconsistency. It's turning it on when I what? Feel like it. It's allowing no progression because inconsistency destroys what we begin to build. We cannot be devoted if we live inconsistent in our relationship with Christ. Lethargic, just clueless of what really matters. And there's ways that that happens. It's a deadening of the Spirit in our lives. As I stated earlier, our connection with technology can be something that quickly deadens our desire for the things of God. That little smartphone that we hold day in and day out is geared towards one thing, and that is to take your mind and to mesmerize your mind in a spirit of addiction. Even the little pull-down screen, you know, on your different apps, the people that developed that have said, we designed this so that it would feed addiction, that it would hook you. And even one of the founders, if I'm not mistaken, either Facebook or Twitter, one of the ones associated with the software development says, you know, this, I'm just being honest with you, we developed this to hook you, to be like a drug addict with that phone, and I feel ashamed of what I've done. But there we are. What? What? What are we devoted to? The opposite of devotion is neglect, negligence. What is negligence? God spoke to you and told you what you should do, right? You know what you should do. He's loved you enough to be honest with you what you should do. But negligence is what? Not doing it. Knowing but not doing. Those who know what they should do and don't do it, God calls that sin. What you love most, you serve most. That's the bottom line. What you love most, you serve most. Because we are created to be servants. We are servers. Our life is energy towards something. And if it's self, guess what we're doing? We're serving, we're serving, we're serving. But God created us to serve Him above all things, to be devoted to Him, not in a drudgery, but in a celebration of a relationship that is the best relationship that was ever thought or created. And that is you knowing God. You know, another thing I saw in our devotion today, our corporate devotion, is that here God says, I am your heavenly Father. And I, even as I read this devotion, one of the things that kind of challenged me was the use of Abba, Father. And the writer was very casual about it, but it made a point. But he was stating that to say it in our language is calling God Daddy. God is our Daddy, our Papa. It's a connection of unique love, of depth, of commitment. And one of the things, I can't remember if it was in the study or not, but basically this. Candy, if anybody touched one of your children to hurt them, I think I don't want to see what's going to happen to them. But then let me break it down over here. We got grandmama over here. So what Candy doesn't do, Pam's going to come in and take care of, right? You know what it feels like to embrace that grandbaby. You know what it's like to love Juju. That love that you feel, Candy, for Cam and Sweet Sky. There's nothing like it, is it? Take that feeling and multiply it endless times and place that in God's heart for you. Do you think we, formed by the hand of God, created by the hand of God, can any way duplicate the love that He has for us? If you understand what I'm saying? Don't take that lightly. His devotion is incredible for you. And embrace that. Know that. And reflect that back unto Him. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to touch a little bit in here today. Again, the things that I celebrate, God says, about you, church. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. Look further. And how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Here's something very eye-opening. God's saying, hey, church, you're calling out falsehood where? In the church. You're calling out the garbage that is collected around you. And I celebrate that you don't sit by and just casually let that evil exist, but you call it out. He says, I see your devotion. I see your actions. I see your works. I see how you hold on to me though the toil arises, the struggle arises. You don't give up because what? You're devoted. And not only that, I see how you are patiently enduring through all of this. And then boom, here we go. I know, Jesus knows everything about us. I know you cannot bear with those who are what? Evil. Evil is our enemy. And evil, dealing with the garbage of evil, you know where it begins? It begins right here. The heart that is deceptive above all things starts here. And when we start judging our heart, then and only then are we ready to judge those around us. Now, you're going to hear somebody say, oh, we don't judge. Certain people do judge. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. You say, oh, I don't like that. You know, I don't know. I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be around judgmental people. If we are not around people that have judgment, we will quickly fade and perish and be overcome by our fallen heart. Somebody, what? Call it out. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, hey, you know, tolerate those around you that are what? Evil. Right? Tolerate them. Because that's what the world tells you. Just tolerate. Jesus says something different about the church. He says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you cannot bear with those who are evil. See, an action of devotion is a heart that is purified. Why is that heart purified? Because that heart is no landing ground, is no home for evil to live. Our heart purified honors Jesus. We, as the people of Christ, the body of Christ, must guard the church from evil. We must guard the church from evil. Guarding the church from evil begins first by guarding our own heart from evil. And then, this is where I want to move into the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And let me step back real quick to Revelation 2, verse 2 again. He's already said, I know you cannot bear with those who are evil. You are calling out evil, church, and that is what? A good thing. And then verse 2 continues, but now that you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. There's a testing. There is a judgment of the condition or the teachings that are being brought forth from that person's life or through the messages that they bring. And then here's where we get our testing of the Spirit honors Jesus. What happens when you get a check in your heart about what someone is trying to pass off as truth? What happens? There's a stirring inside, and the Bible tells us we're not gullible people. We should test every spirit that comes our way. In fact, we must test the spirit that lives in us to make sure it is aligned to the Spirit of Christ. So testing the Spirit is another way of judging. Another way of judgment. So who gets the opportunity and the call to judge? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 15. I'm not sure if we have those verses today. So let's look at this. And this is verse 15 right now. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about what? All things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. Now let me go to the verse here and read it. And this is verses 14 through 16. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Listen closely. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So here's this understanding of how we as God's people test and judge evil. First of all, we have to come to this understanding. If someone doesn't have the living Spirit of God within them, they will not perceive things according to the Word of God. In fact, God gives us this, I want to say this out, okay? He says, you can't. If you don't have my Spirit, you cannot judge the things of evil. Meaning that you cannot perceive it in its full understanding because you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, talking from the Scripture. But if you do, then you are going to be held at a higher standard Because now the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. How can you test evil without the Spirit of God living inside you to give you understanding? And then further, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one, saying this: God will reveal through his word what evil is. And if we perceive it differently, then we are trusting in our spirit. And when we call out the judgment of God from his word and from his Holy Spirit in us, when man comes against us, that does not defame the wisdom. For man will come against it because he doesn't understand it. So that is the beauty of the church. The church is not to be one to entertain evil and to make evil comfortable. The church is called to call evil out in the power of love. And here's something that's so important. Don't get discouraged when people don't see things the way that you see them through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because that's just the facts of life. It's like this. If I have hatred for someone, and I'm not walking with God, and someone calls me out on that hatred, I will immediately defend why I feel this way. And I will justify why I have hate in me. And I will not be convicted about it. In fact, I will be devoted to that hate. How much hate do we see devoted to today? It's all around us. It's lifted up as, hey, this is what you should champion. It's hatred. Well, people can't see if they don't have the Spirit of God. But we know that that is not of God. How about this? And guys, I'm not trying to be mean. That's not where I'm at. Family matters, right? Right? Family matters. And families begin on a foundation of holy matrimony, right? A commitment unto God, three in this unity: God, husband, and wife. That's a covenant. Yet in our day, people bypass that and say, let's try this thing out. Let's just live together. Let's have sex. Outside of marriage, doesn't matter. What? We're trying this thing out. And why do I stay in that condition? Because I'm judging it from a heart that cannot see as the Spirit sees. And you say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying where the Spirit wants to take us, we're unwilling to go. So what does that do to devotion? What does that do to devotion? It says, God, I am more devoted to me than I am to you. And what's God's motive? Help us out. Remember what I said? When you hold your baby, the love that you feel for that child, you will die for that child. God has multiple expressions of levels of that for us that we can't even comprehend. He's sold out to you. Are we sold out to him? The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Without devotion, we do not grow spiritually. The word devotion, again, can go hand in hand with the word spirituality. Devotion or spirituality is devotion. It's not an on and off switch. The spiritual person judges all things. What happens without good judgment? Calamity. I know right now in our nation, we're like, God, where's the judgment of wisdom? Where is it, God? Nothing makes sense. And we sit back and we think, okay, Lord, there was a time where those that led us, we felt they had some discernment. But right now, it's just back and forth, hate and hate and hate. And it's just a bunch of craziness going on. And guess what? That craziness has reached its hand into the church. And I've never in my life felt the weight of government reaching its hands into the church like I feel now. And I never in my life have felt the hand of unwise government government reaching its hand into my daily life. And we sit back and we are like, Lord, where's wise judgment? You know, there was a day when things went into the courts, you could kind of trust the outcome. Not anymore. Decisions are not decided on wisdom and God's leading, or even truth. Decisions are led in the court politically today. And that isn't justice. It's not. Oh, it may feel good for the side that wins, but that's not judgment. That's not wisdom and correct judgment. So what happens to a life without judgment? Calamity. What happens to a nation without judgment? Calamity. And we are walking in the fields of calamity today. And here's the thing for the church. Please know this. Nobody is going to mess up God's church. Nobody. Well, somebody can sit back and say, oh, the enemy's winning. People aren't even going anymore. Well, guess what? If they're not, if it's just faded memories of their past, what is the devotion? And here's the thing. This is, I believe, why Jesus was making it so clear in his letter. He says, it's good you don't like evil. And it's good that you are testing the Spirit, because when the Spirit tests, evil is what? Rejected. And when evil is rejected, holiness is elevated and lifted up. And the purity of God's heart now can be that which is truly the devotion. And the reality. But again, the spiritual person judges all things. Right now, if we're just nodding our head, okay, 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 yes, 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 watch out. Yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, watch out. God says you test the Spirit that is seeking to guide your steps in your life. If he wants that in the church, which he does, how much more does he want it in the governance that we live in? How much more? The spiritual person judges all things. Didn't say the religious person judges all things. Didn't say the fallen heart judges all things. But it says this, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. You know why? Because God is my judge. And the one that leads you and I is the Spirit of God. Though it is seen as folly, not only in the eyes of man that is outside of the body of Christ, but even those that call themselves apostles will point at you and say, you are a fool. And guess what? It is the Spirit that judges. And the Spirit dwells and lives in those that are devoted to God. And the Spirit will never speak against itself. The standard is set in stone, and it ain't ever going to change. It's not going to change. So why would we want to change it? Maybe because we're not devoted to him. Maybe. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? You know, God, you know, in chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so, I think maybe you missed that, right? God, can we get an eraser over here? Can we? Because you know what? People in my government, my heart's telling me that that ain't a problem no more, right? You know, in fact, what you said was, you know, from the very beginning of how we were made and created, I don't believe that anymore. So let's just, God, can you give me the eraser, please? That ain't how it works, does it? For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Daily devotions at Capital City Church are offered to everyone. And one of the reasons that those daily devotions are there to give us unity as we go into the Word of God. You say, I don't have time for that. I got a lot going on. 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Let's do that unified as a church and see what God does. It's been a joy. I have thoroughly enjoyed the journey with each of you guys through this. And then, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And then we bring it home. Pam, we're bringing it home. But we have the mind of Christ. What is he saying? He's saying, my thoughts are going to be in you. My perspective is going to be in you. You're going to be able to look at this life. You're going to be able to perceive the crazy corona stuff with my understanding. And we must pray for one another that we perceive this shift as God sees it, and not be led astray by the wills of man. For in the last days, men will rise up with their wisdom to encompass and to guide the heart of man and to lead him further and further from God. But do not fret, do not fear, for the body of Christ is eternal. The ones that I have called, the ones that I have filled, the ones that are set apart for me, nothing will separate them from the love of God. Nothing. 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 The devoted call out evil with love. You ever had anybody call out evil in your life and it wasn't with love? You don't have to say amen. I think all of us have had some evil called out, right? And it's not always with love. But God demands that his church, those filled with the Spirit of God, as they bring God's judgment, meaning when I say judgment, God's perspective to the evil, that it would be done in love. And here's the problem, though. Listen to this closely. These vessels, though filled with the Holy Spirit, are still filled with the flesh. And sometimes good intentions get us in a heap of trouble. And we must know that when we face judgment from a brother or sister, we must understand this fact. That vessel, though filled with the Holy Spirit, is vulnerable to miss it and to step outside of the anointing of God's love. But don't let that weaken your resolve for the judgment of God to be in the house of God. And then also, the devoted see evil for what it truly is. Nothing like being eaten up by something and thinking that it's okay. It's like the drug addict that constantly takes that drug into their life, thinking, now this drug is my comfort, this drug is my friend, this alcohol is what gives me reprieve, it gives me ability to get through, thinking all along, this which is destroying me is really what I trust in, and what? I will not let it go because it is what I'm devoted to. My heart breaks because I've been in times with folks that are dying from their kidneys or their liver being destroyed by alcohol, and still not willing to set it down, though in their time with the doctor says, you're killing yourself. A lot of people have had that talk with their doctor. Their eyes begin to get yellow. Their skin begins to change tone. They feel the pain of what that substance is doing, and they will not let it go. Why? It's got them. They're devoted to it now. Time has allowed their body to get dependent on it. Same is true with sin. If evil is our devotion, it wars against what the Spirit of God wants to do in us. And it does its damage day in and day out. And it changes even how we process mentally and spiritually, and we continue to hold on to that evil. And guess what? Unless God's grace comes and our devotion to Him changes, we'll continue to embrace that evil and not see what it truly is. Can you imagine last night somebody died? And it was possibly someone that was maybe one of the most committed people in their church. They were a deacon, maybe a pastor, maybe one of the greatest people in our generation with benevolence and good deeds. And because they were okay with letting a religious spirit have the place of God's Holy Spirit, they could not see what sin was doing to them. And when they died, the reality of truth became theirs, and they saw the fruit of their choice. I saw a video, and these sometimes can be kind of rough, but there were these two men that went and stood out in front of a church on a Sunday, and they had a sign that was speaking basically, turn from sin and repent. And they purposely went to this church because this church did not teach the Word of God. They had doctrines that are commonly embraced by a lot of churches, but they're flat out sin. And they went there not with a belligerent spirit. Maybe they're a little tougher than I would have been. And they would talk to people as they entered in and out the church. And one of the people brought up the issue that we must be born again. And that once we get saved and we believe in Christ, that we must turn from sin and not live in sin. And he began to quote the scripture, you must be born again. And the lady was like, oh, that's in the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? Men wrote the Bible. And I don't believe in that verse. All you got to do is believe and continue to fornicate, continue to live in adultery, continue to be hate, filled with hate, continue to let the flesh rule the spirit, or cast out the spirit. And they were like, no, this is God's word. And they smiled at him and they said, it's about love. That's all you got to have is love. And they asked him, what was this pastor's sermon about today? And what do you think they said? Love. Love, love, love. And how much more loving can we be to turn a heart from destruction and sin? You don't get more loving. I looked at those two men. I said, why are they doing that? And you know what it really boiled down to? Love. He says, you know, I'd rather go here in front of a church than to go to Mardi Gras. Because the need is so prevalent in the church today, because so much falsehood is accepted. Who is calling out the false apostles? And then the devoted see evil for what it truly is. And then lastly, the devoted are protectors, defenders of the truth. And then I end this morning with this. What has your greatest devotion? We all can answer that. Truthfully, we can answer that. What has our greatest devotion? What you love most, you serve most. And then devotion is not a mentality. Devotion is an action. And then I'm going to close, I promise, on this. What is your first love? If we could stand this morning and bow for a moment in prayer. Lord Jesus, your word calls us to devotion. For you, fully devoted to us, you laid down your life so that we would be set free from evil, from sin. And we thank you for your devotion that has set a path of liberty and freedom for our lives. Can you thank him in your own way today? If you're at home on Zoom, can you just, in your own way, just give him thanks for his devotion to you. The Father's love for his child. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. We say in the name of Jesus, where evil has approached, may we see it and call it out for what it is. So that in our hearts we will walk in the liberty of the freedom that you have given through the Spirit of God living within. And we ask this morning, God, that you reveal, as a loving Father does, what will enhance our devotion to you. We say to you, Lord Jesus, what do you desire? Equip our hearts, our minds, our energy, our enthusiasm, our passion for that which you are passionate for. And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, use us as salt and light in these days. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And at this time, these altars are open. Those that have been so kind to come through Zoom, Today there is a prayer room that is available, and that can you will see instruction about that. And there's also fellowship groups for you guys to have some interaction. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. If